It's funny, I follow only you on Instagram.
It's not about fame. At the end of the day, it's about power. This is the dirty little secret.
Win for Lance Armstrong. Is it by Lance Armstrong?
Champion cyclist Lance Armstrong. The career-shattering doping charges.
When I went to Europe, I went over expecting to fight with my fist. Then the knives and the guns came out, and I was like, wait a minute. Like, we controlled this.
You found out that you had cancer. What was that day like?
Had surgery, 7 a.m.
What did they do exactly for that?
Just take out the bad nut.
It was your left one or your right one?
That's a great question.
Pull it out.
I'm very glad that we have a babysitter. For I was actually worried.
He's been saving that line all day.
No, I didn't know. I thought it was just going to be you and me. I was like, I don't know how this is going to go.
It would just be the worst podcast ever.
I haven't seen Danny wake up at 8:30 a.m. to like prep for a pod, and you know when he does, it's special.
You bet. I didn't know you stayed up late. That's actually new news for me.
What time do you go to bed?
Usually I go to bed. I like to go to bed. I go to bed at like 9 o'clock, 9, 9:30.
That's cap. Not when I was in Austin.
Well, I live by the 80-20 rule.
Which is what?
80% of the time, you're just super focused and serious. And
oh, I like that.
And 20% of the time, you're just
See, I always had a back really I was doing 20-80.
Yeah,
I got to fix that.
Yeah, but you don't drink.
I don't.
Which is good.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't think alcohol should be a part of your life.
Lance, you remember the first time you and Danny met? Because Danny and I were chatting. It's unbelievable like how much of like his career was inspired by all the stuff he did. Like even the yellow branding on all his stuff is inspired by
it's crazy.
A lot of that.
Yeah. We met at George's Ride. That was the first time.
Yeah, I had been messaging you for years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's funny, I follow only you on Instagram now, but even back in the day, there were moments where I would follow only you on Instagram. Then I would just go back to zero, but then I would do that.
I get so many people that are like, they're like, dude, Danny Duncan only follows one person on Instagram. And I'm like, I know. And now it's just, that's fucking hilarious.
I know.
So to answer your question, Danny came to my old teammate, George Hincapie's annual bike ride. It's a big bike ride in South Carolina. And he quit. He dropped out of the race.
It wasn't a race either.
It's not a race.
Danny dropped out of the race?
I didn't even drop out.
He didn't finish.
I did 20 miles more than I was supposed to.
I don't know, dude.
He DNF'd.
Wasn't it a 40-mile ride? Like the loop? I did like 62 miles.
Yeah, but then you elected to go on the longer one and you dropped out.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I did like 60-something miles. I hadn't rode a bike in a long time.
Yeah. But he is a good athlete.
Oh, yeah.
You mean that?
Definitely. Look at all the stupid shit you do on YouTube. You have to be a good athlete to do that.
You're a pretty good athlete, too.
I would never do that.
I've seen your stuff.
Nah, man. I'm too old.
Do you remember, Lance, when you were Danny's age, that you kind of it clicked that cycling could become a career? Because like most people, like, you know, it's like, okay, basketball, there's NBA, and football, NFL. Like, when did it click for you that cycling could be something that you do and make a career out of?
I mean, I actually did triathlon before I turned pro in the sport of triathlon when I was 15.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, traveling not all over the world, but South America, Mexico, Canada, all over the U.S. as like a kid, making a living doing professional triathlons.
Yeah.
So at that point, I knew that, you know, I was most likely going to have a career in probably that sport, or, you know, I didn't know at the time that I would switch to cycling. But then I won the world championships at a very young age. And so then I was 21 when I won the worlds in Oslo in 1993, 30 years ago.
What made you switch up from triathlon to cycling?
So I wanted to go to the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, triathlon is now an Olympic sport, but it wasn't. It wasn't actually an Olympic sport until 2000.
And you definitely were going to make it in running.
I was not going to make it in running. I wasn't going to make it in swimming. So I switched in 92 full-time and then went to the Olympics in Barcelona.
Can you fast forward? I think one date that just like I see on posters of you, like I was like looking back as we were doing research, like October 2nd, 1996, when you found out that you had cancer. Like, mm-hmm. What was that day like? Like, how were you processing that with everything you had done in your career?
It sucked. You know what it was? It was just such a shock. I mean, I knew something was wrong, but then you start sort of like, I'll never forget I was in the doctor's office when they diagnosed me, they came in to give me this little shot under the skin. And I said, to see if it had an allergic reaction or something. I said, what is this for? So he was like, well, this potentially could be tuberculosis.
Yeah.
So like, you never sit down and think to yourself, God, I wish I could just have tuberculosis. Like, I was hoping that this thing blew up, and I was like, oh, it isn't cancer. It's tuberculosis. Well, I don't even know what the fuck tuberculosis is. Exactly. But I was sitting there thinking, just please make it be something else. And then, of course, you know, obviously it wasn't. And that was a weird time, too, because that was not weird, but it's hard to imagine a world without a device and without the internet and without search and without information just right there for you.
Yeah.
Whatever it is you want to look up. But in 1996, we didn't have the internet,
right?
We didn't have phones. We didn't have information right there. So I was, you know, it just made, you know, the whole experience even more confusing.
And then what happened from there? Like, was it immediate that, like, you know, you had to go into treatment and
surgery? I was diagnosed at 6 p.m. on the 2nd. And I had surgery at 7 a.m. on the 3rd.
Wow.
Yeah. The doctor said, they said, yeah, you have surgery at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. So the very next, you know.
When they said, like, you had that press conference, it was like a Nike used it as a commercial, too. I remember you talked about it was in your nuts and then it spreads into your stomach, abdomen, your lungs, and your brain.
Yeah.
At that moment, you knew it was in everything? Or just
we knew it was in the all that we knew was the lungs.
Oh, I see.
So they, you know, that day they did this ultrasound, which took forever, and the lady, I could tell she was freaking out. She was like, and then she left and went and got the doctor. He came in, he repeated the ultrasound. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, this is not good.
So what was the surgery? Like, what did they do exactly for that?
Just take out the bad nut, basically.
Oh, I see.
But then after the ultrasound, then they walk you in the other room and say, we got to do a chest x-ray. So in your mind, you're like, they're not telling you when they're doing an ultrasound of your nuts that, like, what they're seeing. They're just, you could tell they were concerned. And then, but when they walk you in the other room to do a chest x-ray, I'm like, what are we doing this for?
Hmm.
So then this all starts adding up. And then.
It was your left one or your right one?
That's a great question. It's been so long.
You don't even know. Pull it out.
It's the right one, I'm pretty sure. I have to go back and look. It's been a long time. It's been 27 years.
Wow.
Hmm. I don't know. This should be...
I wonder what they do with that. They just, like, toss it, like...
I always wondered that. I mean, it would be kind of a thing to keep.
Like, yeah, I was hoping you would bring it for me today, like, bronzed. And, yeah. Like, a little thing. That's like a gift.
My old friend, the late, great Robin Williams, just used to do this... this little skit on it where he would have this like a ball, like a jar, like a glass jar, and he'd have this thing and he's like, this is Lance Armstrong's testicle. He used to do this whole thing. It's like, that's fucked up, man.
When did you start doing the Livestrong stuff? Just right once you were healed?
Right, no, right when I was diagnosed, I started the foundation, which was originally called the Lance Armstrong Foundation.
Yeah, LAF.
LAF, and then Livestrong was just a set of programs that we ran underneath, and then, of course, that brand is the one that they put on their yellow wristbands and Nike made a clothing line out of. And so that's, you know, that became a much more, and I didn't want my name on the door. I think that's weird. But when we started it, we were like, yeah, just call it this. And then thank goodness the brand of Livestrong came along and I got to.
Yeah. I remember when those wristbands came out, like I would go to like different malls with my parents trying to get one and they were all sold out.
Yeah.
And for that.
Yeah. They were hard to get. I mean, they cost $1. So, but there were people, if you couldn't, back when you couldn't get them, I mean, people were selling them on eBay for 25, crazy. 50 bucks. Crazy.
I read somewhere that you sold like over 80 million.
80 million of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's nuts. It's crazy. Even when we went to that Sports Illustrated event, like we, you know, they gave us those like wristbands. It's like without that, it's like we wouldn't even be wearing those that night. Right. If you think about it.
No, there's some dude.
So crazy.
In China who pumps these things out, you know, because they have them in every color. And,
yeah.
And before the yellow wristband, they probably didn't make them. I mean, this guy's this is the greatest thing ever. These fucking Americans keep having me make these yellow things. And then the next month, then, the breast cancer people call and say, make us some pink ones.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know, the environmentalists call and say, make us some green ones.
Then I started selling merch. That was the first thing I sold.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I used to have to tape them down so that I could send it off with one post stamp. You'd have to, like, tape them down flat. And I'd have to, like, fold it all weird with tape. And
you would?
That's what when I first started, that's what
you
I did.
You used to do the stuff yourself?
Yeah. I know, crazy to believe, huh?
Yeah.
I figured it all out.
Well, how deliberate was the branding of it, Lance? Like, how much were you involved? Because, like, that thing just took off. Like.
There was an agency in Austin who came up with that brand. And then there's a bunch of confusion over, I mean, it was Nike's idea to do the yellow wristband, but a lot of people take credit for that.
Yeah.
So it's hard to identify, like, who is the person that said, I have an idea.
Right.
Like, there's, like, 20 people that claim to be that person.
Yeah.
So you didn't pick the yellow?
Well, the yellow came from the yellow jersey.
Yeah.
Nice. I love the yellow. We literally use it for everything, I think. My tour bus, we did 3 tours with it. I mean, what was that? Matador. Oh, yeah, dude. The energy
Matador,
shot.
Matador, yeah. The one you're the deck you're using
yellow.
Me in?
I love yellow, man. I told them not to put in the deck.
I got a text. This is random. Like, I got a text from this country singer the other day. What's his name? Chase Rice?
I don't know.
He's a cool guy.
I only listen to like old country, like Alan Jackson.
He says, "Are you involved in this?" And I said, "Involved in what?" And he goes, and he sent me these fucking screenshots of a deck. Where you're talking about
I don't make the decks, man. No, they said, do you have some people, Bo? I was like, and then they said Lance Armstrong. Hold on, they said Lance Armstrong.
And he's like, I'm I need to know before I invest. That's what he said.
I said, and don't I said, put him I have in the no deck. Idea what this is. No, I said, don't put him in the deck. I was like, he's not involved like that. They're like, no, it doesn't matter. We're just putting, this is what they say, I swear.
But it does, sort of.
That's, I'm telling you what they told me. They go, no, it doesn't matter. We're just showing them like a couple people you're friends with that are famous or whatever that you may do videos with. It doesn't really matter. I'm like, why the fuck are you putting them on then?
Yeah.
And they put even people on there that like, I don't even know. And I'm like, why do you put them on? I don't get it. Yeah. It doesn't matter though. I mean, it's going to make a lot of money. Are you in or you're out, man? Did you bring your checkbook?
Just putting Lance on the spot here. I'll be Shark Tank segment.
I think it's too late.
I bet, Danny, I'll back you in anything. I mean, I think you're goofy as shit, but I'm a believer. I'm a big fan.
A believer. We need that. Thank you.
What is it? Like a shot or is it a drink? It's
right there, man. Come on, throw him that.
Bring in the shit.
Oh, it's a little energy shot.
Yeah, man. Fiber Energy. We're ripping them off. 185 milligrams of caffeine. This will change your life, man. I should
have had one of these motherfuckers before we started because I'm a little low on it. We were.
If you want it, it's my only sample, but I'll let you use it if you want it. Go ahead. I wouldn't let anyone else drink it, though, except you.
Well, what if I drink it and it tastes like shit? I make a terrible face and nobody buys it.
Probably won't use the footage, but you can try. But I don't think it tastes really good.
What time is it? All right,
let's go. I'll drink half of it if you want. This is a big deal for me. It's yellow because of you.
That's right.
It's cool because once I sell this, I'm going to be able to go to that place with you guys and I'll invite you with me. And then you can fly on my jet.
You're doing okay.
I'm not good enough. We'll get there though.
You're doing just fine.
Just a little bit. Make sure the logo's facing the camera.
I turned it so that it was facing the camera. I saved you very little bit.
That's it? How is it?
It's not bad.
Be honest.
No, it's not bad.
Have you had 5-Hour Energy?
Never.
Well, it sucks.
Is this better?
This is like way better.
Better for you or just better?
This is
5-Hour Energy, I don't think.
This is better for you and tastes better.
It doesn't taste bad.
Mm-mm. That's what I want for my product. It doesn't taste bad. That's our tagline. Matador, it doesn't taste bad. Yeah, that's our quote, like on the back of the book. It doesn't taste bad.
You can put that in the deck. I will approve.
We got to put that in the deck.
On one of the slides, Lance Armstrong quote, it doesn't taste that bad.
That's so funny.
Wasn't it, and it's funny because it's, you know, holiday season, but wasn't it, we had Thanksgiving dinner or Thanksgiving Easter. Oh, Easter.
That was when you're like, why don't you follow me on Instagram?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was.
You said to him, Lance?
Yeah. We had Easter brunch in Santa Barbara at the...
some rich place, man. I was like, yeah, I do not belong here.
Some dough there.
Yeah. He's like, reservation for Mr. Armstrong. I was like, hell yeah.
And all these little nerdy little kids kept coming up to him. Like at the table.
For Danny or for you?
For him.
Yeah.
And these kids like, hey, like we're having Easter brunch. Right, like, come on, kid.
I'm with my hero, dude. You're interrupting brunch.
It is pretty much what he told me. He's like,
but they're making Danny it look
goes,
good.
Danny, the kid's like, you think I can get a picture? And he's like, no.
No, I said when we're done eating.
No, you go, no.
I might have said no. I don't remember.
I feel like the kids start crying, walking
No, out. That did not happen.
Yeah, 100%.
That did not happen.
100%, man. Poor kid is probably in rehab now. No, so fucked
no,
up.
No.
Yeah, that's a sick place.
Yeah, let me know if you ever want to go again or anywhere else ever. I'll join.
Well, let's see. I'll join in. Here's what Danny has invited me on a few things. So, well, we're going to do this little stick down in Florida, which I don't know if we want to talk about that or not. But
we can talk about it.
And then he once invited me to do a naked tandem race or naked tandem
bike ride.
Well, no, then you wanted me to ride the tandem with you across the country.
I do want to do that. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I said yes to that.
Well, you said I was crazy. You said, but the problem is I got to post every week, so it's going to take like I think at least 3.5 weeks.
Okay, but then you invited me to the naked bike ride.
That was in
Portland, on a tandem.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's not...
I did it with Kiwan. I told you you could have the front.
That makes it so much better.
I mean, it is a little more disrespectful.
No part of it's good.
Kiwan was on the back. He's just hanging on. Feet were dangling. He wasn't even pedaling.
Where's that dude?
Long Beach. He lives in Long Beach. Yeah, he's great.
He didn't want to show up for LA?
I don't think your fan base really correlates over to the hood as much as like...
I think you're wrong about that, actually.
It might a little bit, actually.
Actually, I think you're wrong
about that. I think I am wrong. I think if you go to the hood, they'd be like, oh, shit. No, you know what some people do? They're like, why you follow Lance Armstrong? I'm like, what do you mean? I was like, he's a goat. They're like, the guy that went on the moon? That's what everyone says. Oh, like a lot of times. Like, girls have no idea. They're like, who the... Or anytime you say Armstrong, they get so confused with the moon guy, or they'll be like, the bike guy?
Yeah.
They're just lost. It's funny, you're in the movie, you're in a lot of movies, actually. You're in Dodgeball, but they reference you a lot, like in a, what's that movie, 40-Year-Old Virgin. He's like, okay, Mr. Schwinn fucking Armstrong, who told you to buy a bike? And he hits him in the leg. What about Dodgeball, though? I know you talked about it on that last one, but how was that?
It was good.
You were nervous?
I wasn't nervous going in, because like I said on that other show, I thought I would just, you know, they would just feed me the line. I read the script and I was like, okay, one line, another line. I'm like, I just thought they could set up the camera so that, like, we weren't both on camera. Mm-hmm. And I thought they could just
feed you
lines. Split it and just be like, just throw me the lines. And they were like, no, you're both in the same shot. You have to have a conversation. I was like, oh, fuck.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Then I got a little nervous. I know. I keep telling Ben, I'm like, because there are all these reports of the sequel.
Yeah.
And every time they pop up, I send them a note. I'm like, dude, I'm in, man. Like,
yeah, you got to get in.
I got to get in. But he says they're not doing it.
Really? I actually think Vince Vaughn's one of my favorites, really.
He's great.
Vince Diller killed in that, though. But Vince Vaughn is so funny. Yeah. They always like talk shit about him now. I think I guess he did bad or something like on his recent stuff. But he's one of the, I think, one of the best. Cool. How much you get paid for that?
Zero.
They didn't give you a dollar?
I don't think so. It's a long time ago.
But you're not SAG?
I don't know. I actually, yeah, probably nothing.
Really?
But look, we're still talking about it, so it's worth something. Do you come down here and like hang out in this room? Like if you're just...
Have sex in it usually, right there.
I know. I was noticing. I felt like we should have come in with some blue light.
Yep. Just, you got one in the truck.
Shit's just...
That's why it's white. You can't see anything.
God.
Got any advice for me?
Don't change.
What else?
Okay, maybe change a little.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Enjoy fantasy sports? Visit Prize Picks, a unique daily fantasy app where you pick individual players based on set projections. Rather than choosing teams, you decide if a player will exceed or fall short of their projection. If you're knowledgeable about sports, give the Prize Picks app a try. It's accessible in 70% of the United States, including California, Florida, and Texas, and Arizona. First-time users can benefit from 100% deposit bonus by using the code DANNY. Enter the code DEPOSIT100 and they'll match it with an additional 100 by using the code DANNY.
I think it was 3 years after, like 96, you got the cancer diagnosis and then you won your first 99. Tour in 99. Mm-hmm. I remember like I saw this like interview where you talked about it being like a knife fight, you know, like where like if it was a fist fight and you guys like...
No, I thought it was going to be a fist fight.
And can you explain that for maybe folks who aren't as familiar with cycling or like your time? Like what do you mean by fist fight versus gunfight versus knife fight?
Well, fist fight is just... A fist fight is what... If you get in a fight, you're supposed to just fight with your fist.
Yeah.
Which means you're equal.
Right.
Right. If Danny and I get in a fight and we're just swinging, we're equal. He would win.
Yeah.
But we're start equal. The second he pulls out a knife or a gun, then we are not equal.
Yep.
Right. And so when I went to Europe, I went over expecting to fight with my fists and fight other people that were using their fists. And then just over time, actually very quickly, then the knives and the guns came out. And I was like, wait a minute. All right. This is a little different. I'm going to get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
Because they have different weaponry. So just, you've met with this point where you have to make a decision, right? Mm-hmm. Do you go down to the store and upgrade? And so we did, right? And that was... But we also resisted for a good year, but there was just no resolution. There was no test. There was no test in sight. So we're like, all right, here we go. Do we upgrade?
Yeah.
Or do we go home? And so, yeah, messy. But no, by the way, none of us wanted to be in that position, right? I mean, all of my teammates and all of my rivals, like nobody, as we were just young kids, none of us sat around and was like, dude, this is fucking cool. Like none of us.
Yeah.
Like they're like, all right, this sucks.
Yeah.
But we're not going home.
Like, tell me if this is true. Like during the race, like you'd pretend to have a sick day or like you would realize that when people were intercepting like the comms from like other teams and you'd be like, oh my God, I'm just like, I'm totally out of it right now, when you had a lot in the tank and then they would like slow down and
once. You can only do that once.
Yeah.
Like, if you pull that over on them one time, it's done. Right.
Yeah,
which
we
did do once. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody was hacking everybody else's, you know, we had a little bit of backstory. So we had communication with the team car, which was behind us, and we had communication amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
And every team had that. Yeah. Right. And so there's 20 teams. So you have, you know, whatever, 180, but it's actually 22 teams. So you had almost 200 riders, everybody with communication. Most of these teams we didn't need to listen to because they weren't our problem.
Yeah.
But there were three or four that we would, it's not even hacking into their system. You just do a scan and we would pick up
their radio frequency.
Their radio. And then they would pick up ours. Yeah, yeah, like it makes it silly. It's like, why don't we all just like get on a big fucking Zoom, like, you know, just talk about just what we're gonna do today. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But you know, some of these teams, you know, there was one day they just fell for it. Like we just...
What country was it?
It was Jan Ulrich's team. So the big German rival, but his director was Belgian, just like my director. Mm-hmm. And they hated each other. And they just, I don't know. It was like one day they staged Alpe d'Huez in 2001. They just started taking control of the race on like some of the earlier climbs during the day. And I'm like, what the fuck are you, like, we control the race.
Yeah.
What the fuck do y'all think you're doing? I legit thought that to myself. Like, why are you on the front? Hmm. We control the race. And then I was like, all right, fine. Fuck it. Y'all go ahead. Now, and then I went on this, and then we were on a hard climb, so it got down to like 30 guys. Meanwhile, I had like 8 guys with my whole team with me. So I just went to the back of the 30 and was kind of swinging off the back without saying anything on the radio. And then finally I said to Johan, my director, I said, I don't know what's up. Like, I feel like shit. Like, I'm having a terrible day.
And this is total facade right now. Like,
total act.
Yeah.
And they're listening.
Yes, yeah. And you knew that.
Yeah. I knew that.
Yeah.
And then so we don't hear. So once we scan, the only person listening to the other teams would be Johan in the car. Mm. So then he hears Rudy, the guy's named Rudy Pepinage, say, hey guys, Lance is having a terrible day.
That's amazing.
And I can't say anything on the radio because they're listening.
Yeah.
So finally, I I'm just swinging. He's like, and he can kind of, there's times where he can drive the car up. So he drives the car up and he gets beside me. And I'm like, and he's like, what the fuck's this guy doing? And I said, I just kept playing it. I'm like, man, I don't know what's up. I don't know if it's the heat. I don't know if I'm terrible. So one by one, the guy, I tell the guys, like, go back and like talk to Johan. Johan's like, he's not being serious. That my own teammates thought I was in trouble.
Yeah, because they didn't know at the time.
Yeah, because they're hearing me on our radio.
Wow.
They're seeing me swinging.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't, we're all together, right?
You
can't really say much. And so, but yeah, they kept, he's terrible. Oh, he's having a terrible, they're like talking to each other. And then we descended down, went in the valley, got to Alpe d'Huez and just.
So you turned it on when they were.
Right at the bottom. I sent one guy to the front. He fucking lit it up and I just rode away. Won by 2 minutes. They were probably like, what just happened? But it all started with me, like just a alpha athlete, huge ego. Like, what the fuck are you doing on the front of my bike race?
Yeah.
It was way more, way less friendlier in our generation. Like this generation now, like these guys go hammer, race each other and some guy will lose. The guy who wins is waiting at the finish line. They're fucking hugging it out. I'm like, what? You're just waiting there so you all can hug this out after you just lost? Like, I would have been like, get away from it. Like, I'm not saying that our generation, that was the way to do it or that I was proud of. I mean, I think it's kind of cool to see, but it wasn't like that for us.
Yeah.
And I never even crossed my mind.
It's almost like I feel like the way they talk about Jordan era Bulls and the NBA.
Jordan, I mean.
I also like that too. Like, I feel like nowadays everything also just seems so fake and like scripted almost. Not obviously for that, but like, even with fighting or WWE, it's like that. It feels like that kind of. Yeah. I like when it's like a real rival rather than.
Yeah, I think it was more. I do think our generation's racing was better.
Yeah,
I mean it.
Well, yeah, when people actually hate each other too, it's just like way better.
And we didn't hate each other, but like even for me, like nobody ever did anything to me that would have led me to be like, okay, I hate this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like nobody, but I would make things up, like read an article or read a quote and be like. Well, I guess I could read it a certain way. Like, okay, well, fuck them. Like, you just make it up.
Yeah, throw a log on the fire.
We had a much more sort of college locker room mentality where we would use these guys as examples and their quotes and just make up these rivalries and just.
Was there a quote that bothered you the most?
Nah, towards the end, there. You know, I was getting old. I mean, I won the last tour and. I was 34 years old, which is old.
That is old.
It is old. But, leading up to a couple of years before that, he's getting too old. There's, it's over. But, and I don't think back a lot on, I mean, we're talking about cycling, so I can remember these stories and I'll talk about it. Like, I never sit around and, like, reminisce about my career ever. Ever, 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 ever. Never crosses my mind.
Why not?
The hard hitting question. That was a good one. That was a great. That was the best question you've asked today, Dan. I think it's strange when people do. I think when athletes or anybody sits around, it's like, you know, that game, like,
I think some people, though, they can't,
but if you're not moving,
if you're not moving forward with life,
yeah,
and you're not reinventing or reimagining yourself, then yeah, you got to sit around and reminisce and tell stories. But if, and I was forced to reinvent and reimagine my life.
Yeah.
But because of that, like, I just don't, that's a whole, that chapter's closed and it's gone. And,
how was, like, transitioning into what you do now with, like, the venture stuff?
How is it?
Like, how did that even happen?
Honestly, it happened because, you know, I had my podcast, my original one, and then we did the cycling one, which we still do all of these today, and they got really big, and company, and so early on, you know, as is the name of the game, you know, we needed advertisers. We couldn't pay people to advertise.
Yeah.
And then finally the advertisers came back, the show grew in popularity, and then companies started reaching out. So mm-hmm. Would you invest in our company? Would you test our gear? Would you, across the board? And so once another way to put it is deal flow, right? So mm-hmm. deal flow started. And so I thought I could use the platform of the show. If we did invest, right, we could create this flywheel where we use the platform of the show, the audience of the show, to talk about the companies that we've invested in. And we did do some of that, but we do less of that now. But that was how the fund started.
Yeah.
I read somewhere, I don't know where it was, but it said like you put like $100K into Uber and then it turned into like $30 million.
I put $100,000 into a fund.
Oh, into a fund.
Into a fund, yeah. A fund, Lowercase Capital, started by Chris Sacca.
Oh, yeah.
who I'd met in Aspen just randomly and had stayed close with, and he was starting a fund. And so I invested, but think about it. I mean, I invested only $100,000 into his first fund.
Yeah.
So you have to imagine, I mean, he probably did, I'd have to go back and look, he probably invested in 15 to 20 companies.
Oh, with that money that he
made a lot of good bets.
In his fund one. Yeah. And a lot of them were not good bets, but one of them was Uber, all right? And so if you broke it down, of the 100,000, I don't think any more than 20,000 would have gone into any one company, mm-hmm. which would have been Uber. And so... Yeah, the 20. So it makes it even wilder to think about, right? So it's not 100,000; it's probably 20,000.
Yeah,
max.
Yeah,
and yeah, it ended up being $40 or $50 million. It's crazy, okay. But the valuation of Uber that when Sacca invested, and I want to stress that because I get a lot of credit for investing in Uber, and I always have to correct people. I don't think it changes my investment style or thesis because I invest in people.
Yeah, I knew you put it into like a fund.
Yeah, so but I bet on Chris Sacca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Sacca bet on Travis.
Yeah.
But the valuation that he came in at was $3.7 million.
That's crazy. Wow.
That company's now worth whatever.
Lance, how do you like talk to your kids about like so many chapters in your career, especially like when they do sports? I know like there's a lot of pressure to mm-hmm. like, you know, take PEDs, like I'll make these decisions. Like,
I don't know. Well, two of my kids are
yeah,
sitting in the
yeah,
room.
Yeah. How do you talk about that? Or like, is that a thing? Or do you unpack that? Did they ask you about it? You let them come to you?
I kept, and they can back me up or tell me I'm full of shit, but I tried to keep it just an open door policy that, you know, just, any questions, let's talk about it.
Right? Yeah.
I don't, they're sitting right there. So I don't know if they agree with this, but, that's my version.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing was, so these kids, so I have two sets of kids, two administrations on the wife's side, both amazing ladies. But my older kids were old enough. Like when I did Oprah, they were old enough to be like, oh, my dad's on Oprah.
Yeah.
My younger kids were just like your kids. I mean, they're your kid, they're babies.
Yeah.
And so, you know, back to this sort of point in time of just compare and contrast to your question earlier about cancer, where we had no technology, we had no access to information, we had no access to content. Well, now look at case in point, right? We create content, right? We create stars and they live on places like YouTube, not just for a week or a month. They live forever, right? This dipshit's videos will be on YouTube. They'll be there forever, right? So no matter what you do, they're going to be there forever.
Forever.
Yeah, that's right. And so my interview with Oprah lives there forever. So, you know, I didn't sit there and be like, oh, thank God, only three of my kids will see this. Mm-hmm. Because my other kids are babies.